You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Soon, parents will be on the move, shuttling their kids back and forth to school. Kids will be hopping on buses. And as we get used to some new routines, Juno Police have some important safety reminders. So my first guest today is here representing the Juno Police Department. Welcome, Lieutenant Scott Erickson. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And thanks for being here today and providing us with an update each month on our show. But before we get into that, I just wanted to get to know you a little bit better. How did you become a police officer?
Well, I actually wanted to be a police officer pretty much my whole life. Went to the police academy in the early 90s, and then I've been with JPD for a little more than about 25 years-ish, a little longer. It's been a good ride, a lot of fun.
What made you want to do this for a living? What do you enjoy about it?
Well, I thought about being a doctor, and then the whole college thing just didn't seem like the most amount of fun. I thought about being an actor, and then I realized I got to kind of do both. I can help people, and I can kind of do different things and be in different roles all the time as a police officer. And so it seemed like a really good fit.
Cool. Well, that is good to hear and a good segue into my next question. As you and the department just wrapped up the annual National Night Out, which is, I believe, a big night where you go out and interact with the public. Tell me a little bit about that event.
So National Night Out is a national program that we do, it's across the nation. We've been doing it here in Juneau, I want to say probably about 15 years, maybe a little longer. Each neighborhood can set up and do a party, or what's called a party, to get together with their neighbors. We show up, we bring the fire department, other groups, Coast Guard, National Guard, we bring equipment and mascots, and we come visit, hang out at each of the little parties for about a half hour or so, and then we move on to other parties. The goal behind it is to get people to kind of come together, meet with their neighbors, learn about each other, learn about the police department and the other organizations in Juneau, and just kind of build relationships is the really big key to all of that. And we hadn't got to do it last year, unfortunately, because of COVID. COVID seems to have killed lots of things. last year's National Night Out was canceled, of course. This year, even though with the advent of stuff, the parties were pretty small. But it was quite a bit of fun to go out and actually kind of do anti-COVID stuff. So we had a good time. We got to go to quite a few parties. I think we had a total of 17. We ended up with three or four different groups. My group was one of, I think, the four. And we brought a fire truck and some other stuff. Kids always like the fire department quite a bit. They get to hang out with all of us, and it's just a really good time.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fun production there from your department and from the community, and it sounds like it was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of fun.
Well, speaking of families and public safety, school is about to resume, of course. Do you know when the big day is?
I want to say, I think it's the 12th, but I'm not sure. My kids, sadly, have grown, so they don't go to school anymore. So I don't know the exact date, but I know it is starting very soon. And we will be having school zones and schools in session. So making sure that as we move into the fall year, we are all out driving, that we're paying attention to those areas where the schools are, and make sure that we drive slowly through the school zones, manage the our driving behaviors, as it were, and so we can protect all of our young folk that are be going back to school, because unfortunately last year they too did not get to experience that. So it'll be a new change for all of us after a year away. So
what, from your perspective, is the biggest concern with school starting up again in person that you'd want to share with the public, with our listeners?
Well, I think obviously the mask mandates are huge right now, making sure that people pay attention to being masked. I think because we last year didn't have exposure to the school zones, making sure that we drive safely through any school area and around schools, because the kids are going to have a lot different approach now to the school year, and just making sure that we're generally safe with each other, follow the rules, and make sure that we do all the things that we need to do so that everybody can stay healthy and happy.
Well, another thing I wanted to give you a chance to talk about today is the Citizen Academy, which is coming up this fall. What is the Citizen Academy? Who is it for?
So we put on an academy. We started one last year, and I hate to obviously say it again, but COVID kind of
ended that too. I guess it got canceled.
So the Citizens Academy we've done before in the past. Basically, various members of our community apply to come and work at the police department, and we put on a mini academy to show what the police department does, kind of present the roles and responsibilities that we have, allow folks to kind of get an experience or a taste of what it's like to work at the Juneau Police Department. Last year we had about 10 or 12 folks that were able to attend. Sometimes we use it hopefully as a recruiting tool, but then we also use it as a way to again connect with our community. Our key is, our mission statement is to be in a partnership with the members of our community to make our place a city where we can live safely and hopefully without fear. So by being able to share those and build relationships with other people, that's kind of our goal. And so the Citizens Academy is just one of those areas that we like to focus on. Currently, I'm reaching out to all the people that were in attendance last year to make sure that they want to attend. And then hopefully here soon, I'll be able to find out how many positions I'll have open and maybe get to put it out again so more folks could come, such as yourself. If you wanted to come and see what the police department's like, we will meet about one night a week for about 8 weeks. There'll be some opportunities to go on ride-alongs to see what a police officer does. There'll be opportunities to see how dispatch works, how calls for service work. We'll also have some elective opportunities for people to experience, different training aspects, some one-on-one stuff with officers and staff at JPD.
Well, that does sound very interesting. With all that you're doing, from the Citizens Academy to National Night Out to even the appearance on shows like Juneau Afternoon, how would you say the relationship is between the Juneau Police Department and the community here?
I believe we have a very strong, positive relationship overall. I'm certain there are some folks that might feel a little differently. Not everybody is always happy to see the police. That's why we bring firemen on our National Night Out stuff, because everybody likes to see the fire department. I think in general, I think we have a pretty good relationship. We always want to improve and do better. So we try real hard to make sure that we foster the best relationships we can by meeting with people and engaging in our community. We have assigned geographic policing folks that are assigned to certain areas that people can reach out to and have those officers come to their community, talk to them about everything from crime prevention right on down to, how to build a neighborhood watch or how to, just do better for your neighborhood and your community, things that you can do. We obviously can't only do it in a vacuum. So we have to be able to hear from our community members to tell us, hey, we do have a good relationship. Like I said, I think we have a pretty good relationship, at least from what I've seen from the community, especially last night. It was a very well received National Night Out is a very positive event. And I think we try to do is the best that we can for folks to really give them, kind of a positive outlook and make things as best you can. Although some folks, I'm sure, when they get arrested, aren't necessarily thrilled with the outcomes. That happens. But we try to help people as best we can sometimes. So
that's a good answer. Very frank as well as realistic. So, Lieutenant Erickson, thanks again for being with me today, and good luck with your activities in August. I wish you and your officer as well. Hope everything goes smoothly and safely until the next time we can talk again.
And I thank you for having me. It was very fun. And hopefully we'll get you maybe to come out to the Citizens Academy sometime.
Well, no promises, but thank you for the invitation.
All right. You have a good day.
Take care. You can find out more about JPD online at juno.org and on their Facebook page, facebook.com/Juno Police Department, or call their non-emergency line, 586-0600. Up next, how artists have come together to bring some excitement to Skagway. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. I'm your host today, Shelley Delaney, and joining me are two of Southeast's most active performers right now. Please welcome Taylor Vidic. Hello, Taylor.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi, and Kelsey Riker. Hi, Kelsey.
Hello.
Hello. It's so great to talk to you both again. It hasn't even been that long since we've chatted because you two have both worked so hard together to really lean in during the pandemic over the last year and provide our community with so much entertainment, from To Juno with Love to the Ghostlight Theater radio play, Taylor, your Power to the People concert, and probably a bunch of other stuff that we missed or didn't interview you about. So, Taylor, let's start with you. What has helped you stay so active as a creator during this kind of confining time?
I feel very lucky. I'm not just going to gush on Kelsey, but I'm very thankful that I was able to convince Kelsey to move to Alaska from Pennsylvania a little over a year ago. We met in Skagway, and we have been performing together almost since then, you know, once we realized what we had together, you know, as performers. And so it's been really nice to get to live with someone who wants to make things with you, you know, because if either of you are having a down day, which there have been a lot of down days over the last year and a half, you're there to encourage and love on them and, you know, tell them it's going to be okay. Hey, let's make a funny video and feel a little bit better about ourselves today, you know?
Kelsey, what would you add to that? Since you and Taylor work together so much, who motivates who?
Yes. The answer is yes. I will echo everything that Taylor says. Our relationship has always been such that Taylor is the... is usually in the producer role, the organizing role, she's the idea guy and I'm the yes man. That she will come to me with an idea and I'll say yes, and let's do this, and let's do this, and we will make it happen. But like she said, day to day, we're always just there for each other. And it's really nice having that constant support system right there.
Well, actually, right now, you're not physically together. Taylor's in Skagway and has been there for the summer. And Kelsey, you're based in Juneau. So what has the summer been like for you both? What have you been focusing on?
Well, man, I just got to Skagway 2 weeks ago. The first cruise ship arrived here on the 23rd. So I am the head madam at the Red Onion Saloon. I am currently wearing a costume. Kelsey and Shelley can see me because we're on Zoom right now. I am dressed as a working girl from 1898. I'm hiding in our back stairwell. There's a bus outside. The bus has broken down. So that's been my summer for the train also broke down today. It's been fascinating. But it has been so fun to be back here for a couple of weeks to see these people again, to see the restaurant. You know, it's arranged differently to allow for spacing, but to see people inside and celebrating together and being here and you know, it's an interesting transition after 18 months of not doing it, but it feels so good to welcome visitors again and to do so. You know, I'm telling stories through a mask some days, but I'm still telling stories again, which has been fabulous.
What about you, Kelsey? What's been keeping you busy this summer?
The beginning of this summer, I got to see some family on the East Coast, actually, for the first time in over a year. It's the longest I had been away from home, but I'm an East Coast gal, so that was my focus. when it became safe to travel with the vaccine and the rollout of that, got to get that in. And now it's all about the Skagway Exposé show coming up. It's all about making costumes sparkly and rehearsing music and choreographing dances. And my soul is very happy to be preparing for for this upcoming show.
This, it's a relatively large scale production, the Skagway Exposé. It's got a lot going on and it's a 4-day event. Taylor, you're the co-producer. Are you sleeping okay? Getting enough water?
ask me in 2 weeks how I'm doing and I will have a better answer for you. But yeah, no, I'm sleeping plenty. I'm drinking lots of water. Yeah, it's been a lot, but we're very excited. We have been preparing for this for over 6 months. Mayor Andrew Cremata in Skagway, he let out a beacon call and said, hey, Skagway can't do this on their own. Like, we need people to come and visit our town because Skagway survives off tourism and cruise ship tourism and some road tourism, but you couldn't get through Canada, right? And cruise ships haven't been coming. So he was like, hey, we need people to plan things. We need you to bring visitors to town for reasons other than riding a cruise ship. And so 6 or so months ago, myself and Johanna Evans and Sean Watson, who are both year-rounders in Skagway, Johanna grew up in Juneau, though, so people might recognize her name. We kind of buckled down and we're like, hey, let's bring the Nude and Rude gang back together, but let's turn this into more than that. Let's give people a reason to spend 2 to 4 days in Skagway seeing art and getting to know this town that Kelsey and I have absolutely fallen in love with and that we care so much about and that has given so much to us. Now is our chance to, me and specifically, spend a lot of time in spreadsheets, you know, and trying to organize things in hopes of getting some people to town so they can get why we love it so much and fall in love with it themselves.
Well, tell us what's on the lineup. I'm so excited to hear about it. It looks great. It sounds great. And I love Skagway, too. So I'm excited to hear all about the expose.
Yay. Thank you for that. It's all on SkagwayExpose.com. I'm about to list a lot, so definitely feel free to check that out, SkagwayExpose.com. Thursday, we're going to start with a welcome dinner at the Brew Company. Brew Co. is the largest restaurant in Alaska by square footage, which is fascinating to me. They're fabulous. So we're starting the dinner there. We're doing a Skagway scavenger hunt so people can get to know town quickly and in a fun way. We're also going to have a comedy night that happens to feature all female comedians. Kelsey will be making her stand-up comedy debut. I am so excited and terrified about the jokes that she's going to share with the world. So that's Thursday. Friday, we have the Skagway Soiree, which is going to be a cabaret speakeasy at the historic Red Onion Saloon and Brothel, which is where I have been, Brothel Museum, I should say. So there will be that happening. There will be other live music happening in town. Saturday, there is the street scene at the Brew Co. with more outdoor live music, as well as a maker's market that we have put together. And Saturday.
Oh, no. Taylor's frozen.
No. We're doing double features of the story and the Brewlicious. My back. Thank goodness. I'm turning off my camera. Anyways, so Saturday will be the Burlesque show, and we are doing features both Friday and Saturday so that we can keep it limited capacity. We're going to max out at 60% capacity for those indoor ticketed events. We are going to require mask wearing. Kelsey will be our hostess with the mostest on Saturday night, and I cannot wait to hear all of the ways that she figures out to say, hey, make sure your mask is on because we want to stay safe. We'll be doing as much outdoors as possible. I'm just so excited. And then Sunday will be a sparkle brunch and a cornhole tournament at Happy Ending Saloon.
Sparkle brunch. I love it. I love all of that. I love everything I heard. So Kelsey, hosting the Saturday Burlesque show, that's a pretty fun MC gig. What warnings or what should the audience expect if they attend, apart from wearing a mask?
Oh, goodness. Wear your mask. We encourage bedazzling your mask. Wear sparkles or don't. Sparkles are not everyone's thing. They weren't my thing for a while. Now they're very much my thing. Expect to see Never full nudity at our shows, but be prepared to see some skin. Be prepared to hear live music. We have a live band, the Better Than Boobs band, that we perform with. Lots of live singing, live music. So many funny acts. It gets a little steamy. I'm funny sometimes in between all the acts. So
yes, mama.
That's worth it just for that.
That sounds super fun. I've actually, I take that back. I've seen a couple burlesque shows, but I haven't seen you guys before. So it would be worth it just for that. So the Skagway Exposé runs August 12th through the 15th, and you can find out more information or purchase tickets at their website, skagwayexpose.com. I'm speaking with Taylor Vidic and Kelsey Riker, two of the masterminds here. Taylor, what would be some of your biggest, what would be some of the biggest takeaways or most important things for folks to remember if they're planning to attend the Skagway Exposé?
Yeah, I acknowledge how important safety is right now. We are doing our best to follow recommendations set both by the municipality of Skagway as well as the state of Alaska and the CDC. So we want to work to produce this event and make it as entertaining and enjoyable for attendees as possible while also mitigating risk and staying as safe as possible. So we want to have a good time with you, and we want everyone to, you know, color within the lines so that we can do this safely and thoughtfully, and we can, you know, get to share in our community again. There's a ferry that comes on Friday, goes home on Sunday. Take a 3-day weekend. That's all it takes. If you can't make the whole thing, just come for 3 days. We really hope we get to see some of our friends next weekend.
And Kelsey, how about you? What would you add to that?
Yes, safety, safety, safety. Come on out. Skagway is a town that, a Southeast Alaska town that really heavily relies on tourism and got hit pretty hard. And it is a place that Taylor and I and so many others love so, 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 so much. And we want to show you all the best parts of it. And we get to be there to experience it with you and show it to you. Come on out.
I think it's going to be a great time. I think that it is totally, totally possible to do this and do it safely. And the more we color inside the lines right now, the sooner we can all scribble outside of them someday. So that's a great analogy. And I really appreciate you guys both being here, Taylor and Kelsey. It's great to see your faces. And best of luck with the production in Skagway, August 12th through the 15th, Skagway Exposé. Any last thoughts before we say goodbye today?
Thank you to Public Radio for having us on. We couldn't do this without organizations like you. We appreciate you, Shelley.
Thanks so much. All right, best of luck and see you guys soon. Take care.
Thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. My next guest today is the curator of collections and exhibits for the Juno Douglas City Museum. Welcome back to the show, Nico Sanguinetti. Hi, Nico.
Hi, Shelley.
How are things at the City Museum so far this summer?
They're getting busy. We're excited to have visitors in our space again.
I bet. And there are a few updates and reminders about the City Museum's activities that you want to share today. But first, today is one of those special interviews where you're actually going to share one of your curator history tidbits. And today you'll be talking about the Juno dairy industry. So I'm so excited to hear all about it. I've heard a lot of rumors, but I don't really know anything, any facts at all. So please share what you know.
Definitely. It's an interesting topic that has come up in various ways over my time here. And the dairy industry here in Juneau is really interesting. It really operated from the 1880s to 1965, and mostly was begun by people moving from the lower 48, generally originally European. So the European immigrants were mainly the people responsible for creating the first dairies. And one of the very first ones was in existence in the 1880s, pretty soon after the founding of Juneau. And there was even one up on Chicken Ridge. So even when the town was very small, there were dairies within kind of the downtown boundaries. And even Douglas had several dairies of various sizes, some with small dairies, 3 to 4 cows, some with a larger amounts of cows, such as the Douglas dairy. And as Juneau grew, so did the demand for dairy. And most dairies sprung up in the Mendenhall Valley area, mostly because there were larger tracts of flat land available, which is really the place that you want to keep cows. And it was a really tough way to make a living. And at the time, very few people lived in the valley, turn of the century up through the 1920s. So it was a good place to have lots of cows, but it made it very difficult to bring anything that they produced to the people of Juneau. And so in the summertime, they were able to travel with regular wagons or later on open-sided trucks. But in the wintertime, they had horse-drawn sleighs that they would transport all of their goods from their dairies to downtown. And there were even dairies on the northwest side of the Mendenhall River prior to a bridge. So they would ferry cows across the river to their dairy and then all of their produce across to transport to Juneau until the bridge was built in 1928. And the terrain made traveling very difficult, steep hills, poor roads, basically the terrain that we all see in Juneau today, but much, much worse. And I do find it really interesting that milk and other dairy products were actually delivered to the AJ Mill and then transported through the mountain to the mess hall in Last Chance Basin. So even the miners were getting fresh produce that was transported through the mining tunnels through the mountain, which I absolutely love. And as anyone can imagine, operations were susceptible to a host of problems, pretty much everything you had to get from the lower 48. And things like longshoremen strikes or other shipping issues could hold up delivery of hay, feed, and even in some cases, cows. There are several stories of cows getting stuck in Seattle that were bound for Juneau and dairy farmers needing to basically rescue their cows. And with the advent of air service in the 1940s, it became evident that dairies would soon cease to be profitable. It was much cheaper and easier to transport the goods themselves from the lower 48 up to Juneau than trying to maintain and care for a herd of cows and then produce all the goods here. And the last dairy closed in 1965. And the land in the valley, as pretty much everyone knows, was very valuable for building subdivisions, airports, shopping malls, flat open land. And barns and mill houses remained, and many were repurposed into family homes. And a lot of these homes can still be seen in the valley, which is why you have kind of that architectural style. Some are original, but some are based on that dairy heritage in the valley and kept that look. So kind of this interesting side route that, as most of my stories come from, I was researching something else and ended up down this very strange path that led me into looking into the dairies here in Juneau.
I was going to call it a rabbit hole, but maybe a bovine hole is more appropriate.
A bovine hole.
Well, I can see why dairies didn't last too long up here. It makes a lot of sense. I can only imagine the struggle while they were trying to do it without even like the roads and bridges and in the infrastructure we have today. And cows on Chicken Ridge just seems completely unimaginable. So that's really
interesting. When I came across that, I live on Chicken Ridge, and so I was absolutely floored by that.
Well, thanks, Nico. That's really, really interesting. And what's the status of dairy or dairies in Juneau today? Are there any?
Not that I know of. And if there are in town and you're listening to this, please give the City Museum a call because I'd love to hear about it. But as far as I know, no active dairy farms here in Juneau anymore.
I think that's probably accurate, but I do also encourage people to let us know if we're wrong there. So, well, thanks for that. That's super. What a super fun story. So I appreciate that. That was really enjoyable. So back to business here with the updates for the City Museum. I know that there's nothing particular going on this Friday for First Friday, but you guys do still have some things that you want to remind the public about. One is the call for solo artists, and the deadline is August 31st. Can you speak a little bit more about what that is?
I would love to. So every winter from November through February, each month we highlight a local solo artist by their own art show. And it's absolutely fantastic for artists who perhaps have not put on many of their own shows or are looking to showcase their artwork. It's a fantastic program that we've set up that I actually work with the artists up to 2 months in advance. So if you've never done one before and are looking to do one, it's a great time to try, because I'll hold your hand throughout the process and make sure that we put on an exciting exhibit. So that's what we're looking for if you are a local artist and want to show off your work at the City Museum.
All right. And you can find out how to apply online at the City Museum's website. And the next thing on the list is the Juno History Grant. And deadline for that is October 1st. What is it, and who should submit a proposal?
The Juno History Grant program is a program to help fund history-based projects here in town. It's to help volunteers who are working on any particular projects meant to illuminate any aspects of Juno history, of which I am a fan. And it's meant to produce something tangible, so something like a publication, a digital file, lecture, performance, or really anything else that is an actual product that can be shared with the public. So if you have a project in mind, or you're starting to work on a project, apply for this grant through the City Museum, and the application is online and it's on our website. You can really do the entire application online if you're more comfortable. As with the solo artist, you can also fill out the paperwork here at the City Museum, whichever works best for you.
Oh, that sounds great. I bet it's really interesting to see what comes in on both of these projects where submissions are still open, both the solo artist and the Juno History Grant. So that must be a fun part of your job.
I really enjoy it. I love working with the solo artists because each one is so different and has such amazing art. We have a really, really talented amount of artists here in town. And then with the history grant program, I'm obviously a massive fan of history, and everyone has their own projects that they're passionate about. And I love seeing what people come up with. And then generally, they're on topics I've never heard of, or I never thought to research. So they all definitely benefit me in the long run. So I'm very grateful that the museum continues to support these projects.
And I'm very glad that the city of Juno and Douglas support the museum. And the new museum hours, sorry, let me get my tongue straight here. Another thing that's exciting is that you guys are open every day. I'm not sure when that happened. Maybe it was pretty recently, but I know it's been a long time since you guys have been open 7 days a week.
That's true. We've only just changed it within the last week or so. So we're now open 7 days a week. Our main short day, Mondays, we're only open from 2 to 6, but Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 to 6, so our old hours, and our weekend hours are also our old hours, which are 10 to 4:30. And we are still running walking tours, both downtown and Capitol tours, every downtown walking tours Thursday through Sunday, and then Capitol tours Tuesday through Friday. So if you're in town and looking for a tour, we have one every day.
Excellent. Well, Nico, it's been so nice to talk with you today. I love getting our updates each month from the City Museum, and I especially loved your story about the history of Derry and Juno. So thanks for putting that together for us.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate being on here. It's always a lot of fun.
Well, enjoy the rest of your summer, and we will talk to you again next month.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. It's said that you can know exactly what kind of community Juno is when you look at its achievements in the arts. Of course, that doesn't happen without talented and dedicated people, and we're going to hear about some of those from our next guest today, Nancy DeCherney, Executive Director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing so well, thank you. This is a big moment for us here on Juno Afternoon, because you are announcing the winners of the Kathy Kolkhorst Reddy Awards for the Arts, formerly known as the Mayor's Awards for the Arts. And if you're tuned in today, you'll be among the first to hear who has won. So, Nancy, let's build up the suspense here. Can you give us a brief history of the awards themselves? I'm sure many of our listeners know, but for those who don't, would you just give us a little background?
We have been doing, it started out as the Mayor's Awards for the Arts probably since 2006, perhaps, maybe a little longer. I don't remember. I'm getting old and the memory fades, but it's been a while. And it's always been a delight to recognize the beautiful. I'm going to have to turn something off here. Which thing do I turn off? Because I'm hearing myself talking. Anyway, it's always wonderful to hear, to be able to recognize, as you said, people in our community who have made our community special. And we get the nominations from other people. You know, we just say, if you have somebody that's working that you think needs to be recognized, deserves to be recognized, please let us know. And it's always wonderful to know that somebody out there is thinking about other people and all their contributions that they've made to our community. And it's just a real wonderful opportunity to do this every year. Now, last year, many of you know Kathy Colehurst Ruddy, who was herself a recipient of the awards several years ago, passed away. And she had been on our Arts Council board, and she had been on Jazz and Classics. Anyway, we were thinking of ways to recognize her, and we thought, what better way than to rename these Mayor's Awards for the Arts to the Kathy Colehurst Ruddy Awards. And so we checked in with Mayor Beth Weldon, and she agreed that that would be a really lovely way to remember a person who did so much for so many in our community. So that, and now they are the Kathy Colehurst Ruddy Awards for the Arts. Say that again several times fast.
I think it's a great name for the awards as well, and that's very gracious of our mayor to hand over the title. And there's a lot of different categories for the awards. Do they all have winners every year? Are they all getting recipients this year?
It's usually all of the, and sometimes we're a little flexible with things. I think originally we didn't, for example, start out with a Lifetime Achievement Award, but a person was named and we thought, wait a minute, they don't belong just in this little category. They belong in a bigger picture. So usually each of the categories has a person or a group often named. So yeah, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes more, sometimes less. You can go onto our website and see the whole list of everybody that's been nominated and won awards in the past. It's really, you know, some days when you need a little good news, go in and look at that list, and it'll just say, yeah, you know, we live in a great town. These are great people. So anyway, are you ready for today's, or do you want me to wait for a few more minutes?
Well, I guess we can go ahead. Hold on. Give me one moment, please.
All right.
Okay, Nancy, please announce the winners whenever you're ready.
Okay. This year, the recipient as the Artist of the Year is Robert Cohen. Many of you know Robert Cohen. He is a jazz pianist, jazz musician, works all over, everywhere. If you've gone to anything, you know Robert. You may have taken classes from him, whatever. Robert Cohen is our Artist of the Year. Thank you.
I should have had an applause track ready to go, but I don't. Sorry about that.
All right, we can work on it. The arts education, and education is a really big part of what the Arts Council does, arts education for kids. And our winner this year is Amy Rautiainen, who is the person who coordinates the Artful Teaching Project at the Juneau School District. She works a lot with us, a lot with teachers, a lot with students. She's an amazing artist in her own right. She has stuff on Etsy. Big round of applause for Amy Rautiainen as our Arts and Education awardee. Now, we have this interesting category that we simply call Inspirational Leadership in the Arts. And this one goes all over the place with different things. This year's Inspirational Leadership goes to C.N. Murphy. C.N. Murphy has on her own managed our Poetry Omnibus program for 7 years. It's a huge project. It involves getting art, poets to write poetry. She gets them adjudicated. She gets them printed up. And if you've ever ridden the buses, you know that there is poetry on the bus. And it is thanks to C.N. Murphy. Other things that she does, she plays in the symphony. She's a double bass player. She's a one of those people that sort of, well, you know, bass players play sort of in the background, but you can't do it without them. So, Murphy has, and bless her heart, she found someone else to take over. So we will still have Poetry Omnibus next year. But CN, so many thank yous for all you did. Okay. We have a volunteer for the arts. The arts really cannot go forward without a lot of people just giving and giving and giving of their time, especially. And this year's awardee is Jackie Farnsworth, also a musician who really gives of her musical talents in so many different ways. She works with the Alaska Youth Choir. She plays out at the Pioneer Home. She plays the piano for the Northern Light United Church, for the Pride Chorus. She's in various jazz bands. She is just an amazing person, another person who takes her talent and shares it with everyone in a beautiful way all the time and for years and years. And so, Jackie, thank you so much. And then the last one that we have this year is the Lifetime Achievement for the Arts. Again, this is for people who've put in years and years of dedication to our community through the arts in many different ways. Our awardee this year started out, she grew up here. So she started out on, for example, the JD High School stage, and she's been on boards and things, and she takes trainings and shares her expertise with many different groups, all the different groups that she's been a part of. And that's Janet Hall Shemp. She's not here in town right now, but I want everybody to just say a little thank you thing for Janet Shemp. So that's our list for this year. And really, isn't our community wonderful?
It is. Don't it you? Is. What do you think it means to the artists, to the people who are recipients of these awards?
Well, I don't know. Maybe sometimes they're embarrassed and sometimes they're not. Secretly, deep down in their hearts, it's always makes, I mean, Jackie called me and just was like so happy about the whole thing. Some people, like I remember one recipient of the Lifetime Achievement said, well, does this mean I have to retire now? said, no, and keep going. So I think it's different, but there's no, I don't think anybody doesn't like to be recognized for stuff, especially when it's kind of behind the scenes type people and you don't really know that anybody has noticed that you're doing things. I think it's good to lift these folks up and make sure that everybody does say a little thank you. Thank you is a good thing for all of us. So I hope everybody enjoys it. And so our game plan initially was for us to, we're in the Jack right now, painting and scrubbing, and you can see I'm in my old office, and mm-hmm. all the rooms are being repainted, and we're just doing all kinds of stuff over here, and we had hoping to have a reopening celebration on September 3rd, which is First Friday. We were going to have Costa Gamble and the High Cost of Living. Things have changed in the COVID world, so we've decided that that's probably not the best idea. So now we're thinking of how we can have a lovely celebration otherwise. And I haven't quite come up with that because that decision was just recently made. So, you know, it's what we do in COVID, right? We do something different.
Sure. I often say that's showbiz, but it also applies to the constant changes of the pandemic and the race to keep up with everything. But thank you so much for being here today and thanks again to the recipients of the awards. I wonder if you could read the list quickly one more time, just in case anybody missed one.
Okay, we have Robert Cohen, artist, Amy Rautiainen, arts and education, inspirational leadership, C.N. Murphy. The volunteer for the arts is Jackie Farnsworth, and the lifetime achievement in the arts is Janet Hall Shemp. Thank you.
Thank you. And congratulations to all of those wonderful people on receiving these awards. I think it's a very high honor. And thanks for sharing that with us today, Nancy. And if we want to find out more, is the JAC website the best place to go?
Yep, you can go there. And, you know, by the way, it's first Friday this week, so don't forget that. And we have an outdoor market on Saturday, so don't forget that either. So.
Oh, great. Thank you for the reminders. We're just about out of time, so I'll have everybody just go to the JAC website where they can get all the information about all of that stuff. And thanks again, Nancy, for announcing the winners of the Kathy Kolkhorst Ruddy Awards right here on Juno Afternoon. Take care.
All right. Thanks. We'll see you. Bye-bye.